And welcome to the Teen Exec Podcast, where we explore how real people lead, stay organized, and get things done. I'm Natalia Lucas, a high school student and founder of Teen Exec, a nonprofit that helps teens build practical skills like time management, organization, planning, and leadership.
And I'm Dr. Stacy Smith, a physician at Brigham Women's Hospital and an associate professor at Harvard Medical School, and also Natalia's mom. On this podcast, we talk with leaders from different fields about how they manage their time, make decisions, and lead effectively.
Today's episode is a little different. We're speaking with candidates for the Weston School Committee, people who are running for a role that directly shapes students' experiences in our schools.
We've structured this conversation into three parts. First, we'll talk about each candidate's background and how they got to where they are today. Then we'll focus on their vision and priorities for Weston Public Schools. And finally, we'll ask for their advice to teens, especially around organization, decision-making, and leadership.
Both candidates will be asked the same set of questions, and each interview is conducted separately so that we can focus on each person's perspective. Today, we're joined by candidate Adam Newman. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Natalia.
To start, can you tell us a little about your background and what led you to run for the Weston School Committee?
Absolutely. So grew up in Needham, so not too far from Weston, graduated from the high school there and had great educators, really loved my experience there, and went to school down in North Carolina at Duke University. And as I was thinking about what I was going to do after college, I was reminded of the great teachers I'd had and how much I enjoyed being in the classroom. And so that's what I did. I started off in the classroom. I taught 6th through 12th grade English at schools in Boston and New Orleans. Loved the experience, loved the teaching, loved the coaching, loved seeing kids in all different ways and dimensions and supporting them. But also was interested in having and believed I wanted to make a more systemic impact on the education sector. Saw that there were some big problems and big issues. And while I loved what I was doing in the classroom, I was only reaching 150, 200, 250 kids a year, and thought there were ways to sort of scale that. That led me to the work I do now, really focused on working with a pretty diverse array of companies, nonprofit organizations, institutions that are focused on education and helping them at key inflection points make good decisions through consulting work and other services that we provide to them. So really get to work with a lot of the organizations that are working not just with towns like Weston, but districts like Boston Public or universities like UMass and others around the country. And so it's been really rewarding, and it's been a wonderful way to mix sort of personal and professional interests. Along the way, I got married. My wife is Wendy. I have two children, one finishing up her first year in college and another one who's a junior in high school. So I've been in Weston since 2010 and love it here. So
can you go a bit into what led you run specifically for the Weston School Committee? If you want to go a bit deeper into
that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that what I observed, you know, and I've seen this both in Weston, but I've also seen it across the country, was this issue of leadership and stability of leadership and the difference between communities that had it and communities that didn't, and the impact it had on the momentum and the trajectory of the districts. And what really catalyzed me was having moved here as my kids were in the Weston Public Schools, you know, we had several superintendents over a really short period of time. And we had a school committee that also had like a lot of talented people, but also like cycled through pretty quickly. And I felt like there was an opportunity to bring a perspective and participate in the process. And I thought that I not only cared about the schools, but also had a professional perspective that could be really valuable.
So you've talked a little bit about the leadership experience in your professional career. And how has that experience shaped the way that you think about decision-making and leadership as you look forward?
It's a great question, Stacy. I think about leadership moments and what's required in those moments. And the way I think about it is I have a framework I call the four C's that was shared with me by a colleague. And captain, conceiver, coach and collaborator. And for me, what leadership is understanding the situation that you're in and determining which of those modes is best available in that moment, and hopefully applying it and working with people in the right way to elevate and, you know, best benefit the organization. And so I look at it not as a sort of monolithic, as a leader, thou must do this, but really as much more of a variable. Okay, what is the context of the situation and what's required, and what role therefore as a leader should I play against those four ideas and those four models?
I love that framework. Can you go into what each of those means and how you use it in your daily life?
Yeah, I wish I used it in my daily life as I should always. So captain is as it sounds, right? Captain is sort of taking charge and saying, we are taking that hill. We are going in that direction. And there's some situations that just require folks to sort of say, this is what we're doing. Conceiver is the more sort of aspirational type of leadership role, where you are helping folks see a vision and a future aspiration or a future state, and really motivating and energizing folks to move together towards that and inspiring them. It's really more of an inspirational sort of mode. Coach is as it sounds, is usually there's somebody there who actually can take and be the leader in that situation. And it is coaching and supporting them to step into a leadership role rather than doing it for them, which then leads to collaborator. And that's, as you would suggest, it's working a little bit more closely with someone, perhaps, to sort of, hey, together we can achieve what we need to. And ensuring that you are supporting them in achieving something they might not otherwise be able to.
Exactly. I love the different aspects of leadership that you've talked about. It's important to have all of those in your leadership experience and while you're a leader. Going back to school committee and why you've decided to choose it, was there a moment or experience that made you feel like it was the right time for you to step into this role?
So it's funny. I actually was really interested in running probably about 5 years after I moved to Weston. At that time, my kids were in country school. I was probably traveling 50% of my time for my business. And yet I, again, was watching what was happening in the schools and said, hey, listen, I really think I have a perspective that can be valuable and can be additive to what's going on. And my wife looked at me and said, how the heck are you going to have time to do that? Right? With everything you're juggling right now, with family, with work, like this is a real commitment and you need to be able to do that. And I don't understand how you could do that. And that was right. And that was the right decision at that point in time. And so fast forward to 2023, where, you know, my business was in a different place in terms of what it required of me in terms of travel. My kids were at a different stage and age, and what they needed was different. And so the opportunity arose, and I was approached, and I felt like, okay, like actually things are aligned now. You know, should I be elected? If I were to be elected, like I actually have the capacity and the space and the time to devote to this in the way that I felt like it was necessary.
Yeah. Important to make sure that you have the time allotted for the Weston School Committee.
I know in everyone's professional work, we've had to make difficult decisions and trade-offs. And how do you approach these kinds of decisions?
I think, you know, today wasn't always the case, but what I have found over the last several years is I have sort of two key, I look at decisions through a lens of purpose and people. So as I think about my organization, we have a purpose. The purpose for Titan Partners is we lift up learning. And so that is sort of a frame we apply to everything we do. And then there are the people. We are a people organization. We are only as good as the talent and the passion and the enthusiasm and support that our people have. And so for me, decision-making really is looking at the intersection of how does this decision impact or align with our purpose? And how does it align with and support our people? And sometimes it's more on the purpose side. Sometimes it's more on the people side. Sometimes it's a balance of both. But that's the lens through which I use and we as an organization use our decision making. I think it's really, if you think about organizations, whether it's Weston School District or any other organization, I think it's a framework that's extensible and really valuable. I'm not sure it's always explicit, but I think we've found it, and I've found it very helpful and very clarifying, especially at those points where there are difficult decisions to be made.
It sounds like you've worked with many different groups. You work with local, national, international. Yeah. If you can go into that a little bit more in depth.
So it really ranges. I mean, as an example here locally, we've done work, for example, with BC High, in helping BC High in a very crowded school ecosystem understand its place and how to best present and position itself. And then we work with, you know, the largest of the large publisher and technology companies, the Pearsons and the Microsofts and the Instructures of the world, who are, again, trying to hopefully leave a good mark on the education system. And so it's incredibly rewarding. The work is always a little bit different. We take a very organization-specific approach to the work, which is to say that we really want to locate our work within the context of specific organizational problems and goals. And so BC High's sort of goal and objective looks very different from that of a Pearson or a Microsoft. And so we spend a lot of time making sure we're calibrating so that we're giving folks the right answer for them and not just an answer.
Yeah, it's super important to understand both sides of local and national and being able to use that in your experience and in the future. Looking ahead, what do you see as the most important priorities for Weston Public Schools over the next few years?
So it's a great question. There's a lot that's happening in education right now. I think if I were to frame the three things right now that I'd focus on and think about over the next few years, we obviously are coming through a strategic planning process right now. And I think how we take that process and that plan and move it into action is really critical. And so while we haven't that hasn't been shared yet, there are others in the community that are probably closer to it than the full school committee right now. But I think how we take that plan and move it into the right set of priorities and actions is going to be a really important objective for us over the next several years. I think how we continue to make sure that we bring the community into the conversation about our schools and the direction they head in and what we prioritize. And by community, I mean the students like you, Natalia,
yes,
the educators, the parents, the folks who were former parents who live in Weston, but maybe no longer still have students in the schools. How do we engage the community in a discussion of what is, as I've said, I think before, really the second most valuable asset we have in this town, which is our school system and the value that accrues to us as a community because of it in multiple ways. I think the third one is, you know, as we've talked about, we have a very big conversation that we've embarked on regarding the high school, middle school campus. And again, that's a community-wide conversation. And so we need to make sure that people have different perspectives. They have different points of view. We need to make sure that's an inclusive conversation and that even if people disagree or have different points of view, that we really take the time to hear from those different points of view so that we can make as a community a decision that's in the best interest of all stakeholders.
Yeah, it's so important to make sure that everyone is heard and everyone's input is taken into the big decisions that you make as part of this committee.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And as we've talked, Weston really is a high-performing district.
Yep.
How do you think about maintaining strong outcomes while continuing to improve?
I think I put the emphasis on improving. I think that there's no doubt we will continue to the passion, the enthusiasm at all levels is there to continue to drive success. I think it's where and how do we improve. So how do we make sure that all kids have the same opportunity to have success as our highest performers right now? So how do we close those achievement gaps? I think improvement is about focus, which is we can't you know, it takes a while to get the improvement that we want to see. We've had some good conversations through this campaign around our new K-5 ELA program. It will take us several years to see the benefits of that program. And we have to stay focused and have a degree of constancy around that. And so I think improvement is also around focus and making sure that we're doing a few things really well and not a lot of things sort of well.
I mean, there's many different perspectives in the community and in Weston as a whole. How do you approach balancing those different perspectives when making those decisions that affect our students?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to the priorities we talked about a little bit ago, Natalia, which is, and it's interesting. We're doing this right now, for example, through some of the union negotiations that we're involved with. People have different perspectives. What's really important, I've learned, is making sure we understand the narrative and the why that different groups or different stakeholders have. And if we give ourselves as a community permission to hear the why, to hear the narrative and why certain things are important to folks, I think that starts to break down the walls and allows us to have conversations and discussions and find ways around what at times can seem to be, you know, positions that people don't want to move off. So I think the difficult decisions happen when we create space and we create trust to share our stories, share our why. And I think it gives us a base to work through those hard issues.
Yeah. I mean, getting a full viewpoint of the issues and also communication, those are two main things that are really important when it comes to making those decisions.
Yeah. And it means that, you know, a good negotiation means that you don't always get everything that you want, but you understand, you know, you're able to articulate what's most critical, important to you, and you hold on to that. And then you realize along the way, there's some other things that, okay, maybe that's a little less important.
Yeah. Trying to find that good balance.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, if you're elected, Adam, what's one area where you would like to spend the most time or attention early on?
It's so funny. We just talked about focus as I was thinking about this question. I was like, okay, which one of these? Cause I'm sure I'm going to irritate some stakeholder group by not sort of offering theirs. What's been great about this process, I have so appreciated what the folks at Weston Media do to sort of make transparent the conversations we're having around this campaign and this election. I'm grateful that the Weston Observer is in town and the platform that has created for folks to learn about the candidates and the issues. And what I've really enjoyed and appreciated is just the conversations we've been having like this and the opportunity to talk in a substantive way, not in sound bites, but in longer form about these issues. And I think we've missed that as a community and as a society. And so I think for me, there are lots of operational issues that we need to get right and better in our schools. But I think working at opening the conversations up and bringing folks in, as we've started to do, to me, is really important. And so I think about the communications audit that we shared and that we had shared with us at the school committee meeting a couple weeks ago, late March, early April, is really a very exciting roadmap and blueprint for how we can, you know, at multiple levels, bring the community in to have these conversations so we can co-create and focus on the school community that we want for this, you know, for the town of Weston. And so there are lots of other fun issues to deal with. But I think if we create that and really focus on that, I actually think that will help us accelerate a lot of these other decisions that seem to be hard or where there seem to be differences of opinion.
Getting into our more executive functioning skills part of the podcast, from your perspective, what's one skill that teens should focus on developing right now?
Only one?
If you have multiple, feel free.
No, I think I think one of the things I've found most valuable is sort of taking a solution orientation. And I think people are often afraid they're not going to have the right answer. And to me, a solution orientation isn't about showing up with the right answer. It's about showing up with a point of view and a perspective and with some evidence about why that could be the solution. And then hopefully being with a group of people or a peer who then helps you sort of work through that process. But I think it allows folks to begin to own decisions and opportunities and builds confidence in steering through. I think as a business leader, certainly what I value is when people bring a solution. And so we start to get to work the problem together.
Yeah, it's a great way to get a starting off point for any time when you're trying to find a solution to a problem. Is there any way that you like to go about finding a solution or just getting a starting point off when you're having that types of conversation?
I think having a hypothesis is really important. You know, having a point of view of why something is happening and having some evidence or some pieces of evidence that explain the rationale for that hypothesis. That to me, I think is really critical.
As we know, talking to many high schoolers and middle schoolers too, they're juggling a lot, particularly in our towns nowadays. And so what advice would you give to them about staying organized or managing their time?
Less is more. We live in a world and a time where there are so many different things that are competing for attention. And I find that the more we try to do, the less effective we are at doing those things. And so for me, a lot of it is around prioritization and focus. Yes. And being okay with or not having FOMO.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
There's a lot going on in the world. We only have 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's really making choices of what's most important, whether it's family, whether it's an extracurricular activity, whether it's an academic pursuit, whether it's taking a walk in the woods to unwind. But I think finding those things and creating space and time to recharge.
I think you hit on that FOMO comment, like hit the nail on the head. I do think that a lot of our teenagers and adults are fearing that they aren't doing as much as they should be. And I've noticed a theme is focus. So when we talk about executive functioning, it is about focus and management.
There's so much that we're able to do here in a as a community, and really pointing in on what you should focus on and what you truly value is a big part of growing up and going on to college. And I mean, when you were a teenager, how did you make decisions about your future? Is there anything you'd do differently today?
Oh gosh, or? Yeah. We were talking a little bit before we got on the air of how I ended up at the school I did, the university I did. It was not a good decision-making process. I think I look at my daughter, for example, right now, so much sharper and crisper
in decision-making.
She's a first year in college. She's finishing up her first year of college. I think it's really hard. I think high school students sort of find their decision-making muscle at different rates and paces. And I think we need to be generous with each other, which we sometimes are, sometimes aren't. And I think we need to be good friends and guides to each other. So I had some friends in high school who were really structured and really had a good approach to decision-making. I was not. And I benefited sort of by osmosis, not by them saying, hey, Adam, this is how you need to make decisions. But just, I think being around them long enough, I started to realize they were applying some principles and some rigor to decisions they were making that I was not. And while I didn't suddenly become as effective as they did, I think over time, I sort of observed and learned what they were doing, and I adopted elements of that. But I certainly think folks have to give themselves grace. It's hard work.
It's so important. The people you surround yourself with, they all help shape who you become. And finding who you want to be and surrounding yourself with those types of people is a huge way that you can grow yourself to become who you want to be.
And I think the approach you've taken to learning how to make decisions turns you into a better leader in many ways. And leadership can mean many different things.
Yep.
What does a good leader look like for a teenager in a school setting?
For me, it was always the person who was willing to listen to any student, regardless of what group or community they were a part of, which is really hard in high school. It's really, really hard. And I was one of those people who I was an athlete. I was in chorus. I was in band. I did the things that were cool, and I did the things that were a little less cool. And it was hard at times because it was, you know, I could move and I felt comfortable moving between those places, but the people in those groups that were not as flexible found it challenging. And so to me, leadership is an ability to connect with all sorts of different people, regardless of stage or station of life. And that's true in high school. It's true throughout life. And it's that ability to make authentic connections that is, I think, what separates, you know, or distinguishes great leaders.
Yes. And I think it's a gift too. Natalia and I were talking about this, that it is hard in, you know, teenage life, that you're often in your little clique. And the more that you can adjust around others, life becomes so much easier as you move forward in your adult life. So
yeah.
You can learn so much from people that you don't necessarily always surround yourself with. Yep. Making sure you understand all different points of view is such an important part of being a leader.
Yeah. And I think it has to do with comfort too. I think people get comfortable with themselves in different ways at different times. And that's hard too. And especially, you know, in middle school and high school, as a former educator, it was interesting. I loved teaching sixth graders because they weren't yet concerned about the social repercussions of their behaviors when I was teaching, which may or may not be true now in this day and age, but which was very different than even the ninth graders I taught, where suddenly their actions had repercussions within the broader community.
They weren't as free.
They weren't as comfortable. They were worried about what, you know, their friends were going to, or the boy or the girl they liked was going to think of their behavior. So there's a degree of comfort that I think is important as well.
Very true.
Yeah. Things can seem kind of overwhelming during high school and trying to figure out what you like to do and who you can be with that helps you feel comfortable and then also expand your horizons. Both are important.
Yeah.
When things feel overwhelming, are there any strategies you have that have helped you stay focused or have helped you move forward?
So for me, movement is critical. So when I am stressed, which I normally am not, but when I just need to reset, a good walk, Weston's a great place to go for a walk, a good run, being outside and just sort of breathing, whether it's 5 degrees, 50 degrees, 75, 80 degrees, that for me is very centering. I am also one of the few people who runs without headphones, without something in my ears, you know, because I'm trying to center myself. So I focus on listening to my body to just try to ground myself. So that to me is movement and being outdoors are probably for me the things that center me when things are sort of risking going haywire.
Yeah. Walking can be a great way, or running can be a great way to kind of set your mind, get a clear view of what is going on in your life.
So one thing we'd like to ask as we close off the interviews is, what is something about you that you'd be willing to share that people may not know about you?
Yeah, so many things. I think it is that I started off in college and I was an English major with a focus on creative writing and ultimately a concentration in poetry. Which is a very narrow, nichey area.
Had you done poetry in high school?
I had done a little bit. I had done a little bit. But to fast forward, what was really interesting is that was what sort of catalyzed me to be an educator. And what was fascinating was when I transitioned from education, how many organizations didn't value the experience of being an educator? And the expression always was, those who can't do, teach. And I've carried that forward with my whole life, because if you think about what makes, I think, people successful. It's actually the ability to teach and work with others. It may not look like a conventional classroom, but it's the ability to help folks understand or unlock opportunities and ideas. So to me, I am no longer in a formal classroom in the conventional sense, but I have always thought of my professional career as one of being as someone who cares about words, as a poet,
yes,
very much, but also as an educator. And so to me, educators and education is the most valuable sort of tool set and skill set we have in our communities these days.
Do you still write poetry?
Unfortunately, I do not. I keep a journal.
That's incredible.
But I do not write. I am not actively writing poetry.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and share your perspective. It's really helpful for students to hear directly from people who are making decisions that affect our schools. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Teen Exec Podcast. If you found this helpful, be sure to follow the podcast and share it with someone else.
And thanks again to Adam Newman for joining us and for his willingness to serve our Weston community.
Thank you, Natalia and Stacey.